That is why, in fact, I am also part of a network that we have called Women Against Sexual Violence and State Repression, WSS. Because what we have felt is that, you see, there has been a change in the women's movement. I mean, if you look at, you know, Mathura and even Sati and, you know, where it was, the women's movement had an understanding what the role the state was playing. The autonomous women's movement. I mean, first of all, it moved away from being fronts of political parties to an autonomous women's movement. But then after that, there's been a whole depoliticization of the women's movement. Now, on the one hand, it has gained more space and legitimacy. You've got women's studies departments, you've got self-help groups, you've got, you know, so many NGOs on women's issues and all that. But there's a whole depoliticization, and the way to depoliticize is to refusal to look, see the state in all this. And on the other hand, we are seeing that very sharply in all the movements, state repression is going hand in hand with sexual violence. You look at the case of that Kherlanji case, you know, where the Dalit, this thing that attack comes along with sexual violence. You look at, you know, Tapsi Mallik's case, you look at what is happening in Kashmir and Manipur, of course, so much of Gujarat, you know, communal violence comes with that, honor killing comes with that. So, you know, and all these, you know, these conflicts, they're all aligning themselves with patriarchy. You know, the caste conflict, communal conflict, you know, so patriarchy reinforces these elements and each reinforces each other. You know, if you see what I mean, I don't know whether I'm making myself clear. So, and the state is sort of the bundle of the whole thing. So, and it is really entering, yes, under the state's patronage, you can, you know, Narendra Modi can murder Muslim women, or upper caste can rape Dalit women, or, you know, security forces can, you know, rape Adivasi women, all that is going on.